Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, October 13th, 2018, you are listening to The Deep Dive with Rich Fan, our live cast brought to you by myself, Rich Fan. This week, we're going to be talking about a couple of things. It's going to be a mini potpourri, and obviously to get started with the talking, we're going to need to hear from you, so give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So, like I said, this week, my co-host is going to be varied, as my original co-host, Ciara Reed, is at an assignment function and might not be able to call in. So in the interim, it's going to be me solo dolo and you rolling with me. So as we start, I want to talk a little bit about the last couple of days. My buddy Shahid, who you all hear when Travis and I are on for the East Coast cast at times, mentioned the complicated nature of the Saudi situation as far as the Crown Jewel event, and how a lot of people in mainstream media now are jumping all in on it, and there has really been no talk outside of our circles. I know Mike McMahon here at The Torch has been dogged and dropping some fact bombs on the whole situation, but outside of Mike, we've been hearing a whole lot of nothing. So my hope is that with the recent goings on, we can actually get some Okay. So, for Saturday, October 13th, 2018, you're listening to The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I apologize. We had some technical difficulties. I thought that the mute button wasn't on. So, alas, here we go. My regular co-host for the week, C.R. Reed, may have a work function that keeps her from doing the deep dive. So it's going to be me, solo dolo, chatting with you. So if you're interested in having a chat, give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the Crown Jewel event. Shahid, usually a listener and contributor to the East Coast cast on the free side of things, has been pretty dogged in his description of what's been going on in terms of the Saudi situation and how things have kind of gotten out of hand in terms of what once was a money grab has turned into a money grab plus with the recent alleged murder going on at the embassy. And now you have groups like Yahoo, other national outlets, starting to realize that the WWE is making $50 million a show. And is that money worth association with a regime that seems to be murdering dudes in embassies? Obviously, they have added the milquetoast. We are monitoring the situation, but what do you think? Do you think the Crown Jewel event should still go on? Do you think, as I did from the beginning, and I know someone like a Mike McMahon here at The Torch has been touting on Twitter, this has been the avarice arena, basically. This is the base of all of the old Jake Roberts promos when he was a face, and how do you get around that without facing the ugly truth as it pertains to this situation? Also, we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on with the Mae Young Classic, and of course, some of the latest happenings in New Japan, including the recent Observer citation that there's a little bit of unrest in the back. But in order to get all that done, we need to start chatting, so shoot us an email, pwtdive@gmail.com, or give us a call, area code 515-605-9345. And with that being said, I'm going to hop with the first caller, 862. State your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the deep dive.
It's Kylan, Rich. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today, Kylan?
Very well. Happy to be rejoining you again after a positive and productive break over the past week.
Excellent. So what questions do you have on this wonderful Saturday, a crisp autumn day here in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure the same for you in the tri-state area?
Yes, it sure is. My first question is in regards to the women's wrestling scene, since we were indeed scheduled to have Sierra Reed join us today. I had planned out a bunch of questions on this, but now that she said she may not be able to join us, I have scrapped those and created another list. But this is a general question. Which women's wrestler or group of women's wrestlers not currently associated with WWE do you anticipate being next on the list of Triple H to potentially sign to WWE in the coming year?
Well, that's a great question. I think for me, one of the first people I think of is someone they actually have signed already, so that kind of stinks. The hot mess Chelsea Green. I think her Laurel Van Ness character was something that when Vince saw it was be right up his alley. I mean, she was already a good wrestler, and they had already used her as the surrogate mistress, as TNA did their AJ Styles mistress with Dixie Carter and the masseuse and all this stuff. And WWE had the PT person with Daniel Bryan allegedly cheating on his wife. So she already has the character acting down, but she's a solid wrestler, and I think she'd be a good add to the mix. One of the other wrestlers would be, if they could get her, Rosemary. Obviously, at this point, this is, sounds like I'm rating Impact Wrestling, but I think with Rosemary, you have a woman who can do the Sister Abigail-y type creepy stuff while also making sure that she can handle her business in the ring. Those would be my first two.
Okay, those are excellent choices. I will also add that I am very surprised that WWE chose not to sign Karen Q out of Ring of Honor or even Madison Rayne, whose ring reputation is somewhat suspect depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think I was even going to mention this with Ciara, and I'm going to try to have her back on when her schedule permits. They went from mentioning that they were going to have all of the WWE women's roster, essentially like 50 women on the show, and now it's going to be something where they're not going to have everyone because they've kind of turned some tag matches, and it just seems like they kind of moved away from announcing that as like a perk of the show. So I feel like they might have felt as if they've hit their watermark in terms of the number of women they're going to have, at least in that limelight. And I think that stinks, to be honest.
It does. My second question regarding WWE Crown Jewel is in two parts.
Okay.
Part one, I don't know if any of us contributors have spoken to Wade about this. I know I haven't, but Maybe you have. Do you know of anybody here who has refused to cover Crown Jewel in either audio or written form? And part two, if WWE does eventually decide to terminate its relationship with Saudi Arabia in light of the alleged murder of Jamal Khashoggi, can you suggest any other countries besides the ones listed that WWE can do business with without having the stench of rotten eggs on their face for doing business with said country?
Well, I think the easiest thing is you look at when they went to Australia for the show, that wasn't necessarily put in a bad light. But on the other side, you don't want to be in a situation where you're taking, because think about it, the reason they're going to Saudi Arabia is because they're making almost $50 million a show, maybe more. So because of that, that gives them a lot of buying power in terms of things they can do outside of those TV contracts. I don't think there's a country that's going to give it a big enough bang for the buck word to the Young Bucks in terms of getting them there. But I think in terms of dealing with the countries, I think if you went to, gosh, if they went to Australia, they could go to the United Kingdom like they usually do. They could go to, they do their little house show tours of France and the rest of Western Europe. I would say it wouldn't have been the worst idea to work with some of the local folks. And then this deals with the Bruiser Brody situation. They could have done a benefit show for Puerto Rico relief. And they could have done it maybe. Go ahead, Kylan. I'm sorry.
I didn't even think of that, but that's brilliant. Now that you said that, maybe I ought to talk to some people on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that could have been a very easy thing, especially because Stephanie has been focusing on, you know, for the last few years, the idea of philanthropy being the best marketing, as she famously retweeted. This would have been a perfect chance for them to do something like that and look like $1 million, especially given the situation. However, because of their ties to the current administration, that might not have been something they wanted to get into, because that might lead to them being put on the outs.
My final question to rip the proverbial mandate off of this subject, since you mentioned you were going to be covering it anyway, regarding the recent report of severe unrest and or upheaval in the New Japan locker room, do you see the morale in New Japan currently causing the quote-unquote end of the honeymoon period for New Japan fans and executives in terms of, do you think New Japan will now have less subscribers to their subscription service because New Japan may lose most of their top guys, And do you think Harold May, Gato, and Jotto will now be unable to go after top talent because wrestlers will start to hear that Harold May is apparently not the most pleasant individual to work with?
I think for Harold May, the problem's going to be not necessarily getting the guys to sign. I think a lot of this, because after Dave Meltzer put out his report, Tama Tonga was one of the first to say, who's spreading these lies, who's feeding you info, and things of that nature. I think if the relationships back there are getting soured because of the wrestlers not feeling appreciated, et cetera, et cetera, the big goal should be figuring out how to fix that, because I don't think Harold's going anywhere. They put a lot of money into bringing him in. They spent a lot of time for him. Moving out of a system, as Dave Meltzer noted this week in the Observer Live, or I'm sorry, Wrestling Observer Radio, where he was in the toy industry, and it was a multi-billion Big B company where it was about 15, 20 times the size of New Japan and several times the size of WWE. So this was actually a step down for him to do it in terms of responsibility and day-to-day stuff. And so if you're going to get someone that's that big a fish, I think it's just pull him to the side, smarten him up, so to speak, and let's try to fix this, because I like what they've done from, you know, from the Gato side of things, booking. Nothing's changed. I still see it as a pretty solid show, you know, tour in, tour out. So getting them to move off of whatever else is bothering the folks in the back would be imperative.
Well, Rich, that wraps up our time together for this week. Oh, but before I go, after hearing the show that you did a couple of weeks ago, where you discussed the Bella situation and got a little emotional at the end, I sent you a recommendation to help with the personal matter you discussed, so I hope you look at that and hope that provides you some happiness in trying to deal with that.
Oh, and I appreciate that, Kyle. And I did get a chance to see the message, but I didn't get a chance to look at it too deeply. But I'm going to take a look after this show. And, my friend, I'd really appreciate that. And I appreciate, as always, appreciate you for listening.
You got it. We'll talk again next week.
All right. All right, everybody. So that was Kylan. As always, a great listen and a great add to the show. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of my feelings on the new face of LIJ. And, of course, any of your content, hashtag it. Hit me up, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Listening live here to The Deep Dive.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I'm, of course, Rich Fan, talking to you with a little bit of a potpourri. Thoughts to my guest, Ciara Reed, who's currently on assignment. We'll be trying to catch up with her later on down the road. But in the interim, it's going to be you, me, and a microphone. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the newest member of LIJ and how I think adding him to the crowd is going to be a nice little get for them because of his, basically his awesomeness. For those of you who haven't seen, I'll definitely retweet this and make sure you have it. Shingo Takagi has joined as of this week LIJ, and to have him as a dude that's in this crew, while he's in, and I'm sure my colleague Alan Cunahan's going to talk about it a little bit, having him in the Hiromu stance as far as like the LIJ standing spots is great because he does it in his own fashion, and as Bushi mentioned in his post-match interview, he isn't replacing Hiromu, he's just bringing a different energy to the group while Hiromu's gone. If you haven't seen him, definitely check him out on YouTube or any of the Dragon Gate related streaming services, any of the old school stuff he did in Ring of Honor, and actually some old school PWG as well. He is, to me, a nice hard edge to the team. I mean, you already have Evil, who's kind of dealing with his stuff right now. You have my dude, you know, the former number one draft pick who's kind of rehabbing, and Sonata. You have the ace of LIJ and Naito. And then, of course, Bushi, Bad and Bushi, is just there to be a fun dude. So when you have those guys together, adding someone in that is a whole piece that can scare the crap out of people and be kind of like the goon in hockey or in the intimidator in football, I think is a good combination. And rather than hearing me blather on about this by myself, I'm going to bring on my main man, Travis Bryant, who has tagged himself in. Travis, welcome back to the deep dive.
Good to be back, Rich. Thanks for the invite.
Hey, thanks for picking up the phone. I appreciate that. With Ciara out, it was disappointing, but she's got work to do, and everybody's got bills to pay, so I'm not going to hate on it. I was talking earlier about a few seconds ago about New Japan, but something I wanted to get your opinion on that I don't think we talked about at length on the East Coast cast too much was if WWE wants free credit for doing things that everybody else does and doesn't broadcast it, how come they never did a Puerto Rico show?
Well, they did. Wasn't that the show Edge won or was that the next year's New Year's Revolution? They did a Puerto Rico show in, like, January 05.
Oh, no. Now, Travis, as far as, like, to help the island now. Like, if they want credit for, like, helping Saudi Arabia.
Right? You got guys going over there, having, concerts and, Iglesias. Maybe I got the Puerto Rican singer wrong. I didn't even think of that. That's totally. Go over there, especially now, after there's some infrastructure back into place, 2 weeks after Maria last year, of course not. Send a boat of some supplies, maybe. But yes, because the thing people say, the best way you can help Puerto Rico right now, if you're not going to send, if you don't send $100 in cash to some charity that go, is to go to Puerto Rico, spend money in Puerto Rico, eat Puerto Rican food, visit Puerto Rican attractions and beaches and that kind of stuff. That's how you can help Puerto Rico. So yes, WWE definitely could have held an event there. I don't know how it would work, like with ticket prices. You can't go in there and start gouging people.
I don't know if they're
in the business of holding free shows.
If I'm going to be a whole scumbag WWE executive, I would have a free show where all you have to do is bring canned goods or something and you get a ticket to the event. Have some Puerto Rican
that's
person.
Standard fare.
Yeah.
that's like the easiest kind of a go-to, like how do you, but again, I don't think WWE is in the business of, I mean, just to be completely, you know, give them the all the benefit of the doubt, you know, they have, well, I can't really because this is a year-old issue, because I was going to say they have, you know, they have stuff set in advance and...
Well, here's the thing. They're coming to Puerto Rico.
Even if it's not a full-on show, like we're going to be at your number one arena, you know, you could certainly send some folks over there to...
Well, they're going in June. I just looked it up.
To raise awareness. You send Big Show and Mark Henry and those types, and maybe I don't think they have a Puerto Rican star or anybody, even Dominican. Jose. But again, yeah. But you do something. You send some folks over there, like, hey, we're bringing awareness. We hope the media, you know, is looking at our social media and our clips of the events of this meet and greet or whatever. But yeah, I didn't think of that. I'm surprised that there hasn't been something more public done from WWE, and I can't imagine they're doing a ton of private stuff. Because again, like you said, like the way you qualified your question, they don't do good things without letting you know before, during, and after that they did said good thing.
Yeah, like to me, if I'm going to be one of their executives, the first thing I think about is, you know, if they back out of this Saudi show, it's not like they're going to break the deal. They'll just do three shows in 2019.
Right.
And so if you know you're going to get that money, do this free show, have some Puerto Rican musicians, superstars, big ass, I mean like actual people and like media and stuff, come along with you. And then if you want to play the full, like, we were instructed after having a delightful chat with the president that maybe focusing our energy here not only takes the onus off of a hot situation, but we can help some folks who need it back here in the States.
Yeah, now would be, if they could do something, if they could pivot, hit a button figuratively and go, we're not doing the Saudi show, but we're going to rearrange that. We, again, it does, I'm not saying they have to do a full-on show, bring the set, trucks, everything. That might not be feasible, might not be logistically possible. I'm sure it is. I'm just, again, trying to be give them all the benefit of the doubt.
Well, think about it from a logistics standpoint.
But they definitely could arrange something.
Think about it from a logistics standpoint of them going from wherever the last house show is to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
I just mean the logistics of the island itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It got battered and beaten. But that was a year ago.
But they're coming in June.
I'm giving them that out, but it is a year later.
Yeah, they're coming June 8th. They're doing a house show there June 8th, 2019.
Oh, okay.
Because I was looking it up because I was like, when was the last time they came? They went to Puerto Rico. They went in January of this year, and then they're returning
for like a normal house show, I assume.
Yeah, and then they did pictures of like the superstars enjoying the sights, put it up on WWE.com.
Yeah, I mean that sounds very familiar. Like, so it's not a surprise that they actually went, but that they didn't do anything, so to speak.
Right, and I'm sure that might have been something where maybe...
But again, maybe they might go, we're in the business of putting on shows, putting smiles on people's faces. Like, it's not our job to come into your country and... Or your country, it's Puerto Rico. Right, my MAGA on. Come into your U.S. territory and you know... They probably just don't see that as their job, and it's not. But you can be a decent company and decent people in that company and do something. Again, if it's only to bring awareness. So, right. Anyway.
All right. Well, let me.
Are we here? I'm really here to talk about Spider-Man. Like if we're not going to talk about Spider-Man, like I can hang up right now and get back to playing Spider-Man.
All right, so what do you have to lay on the fine folks about Spider-Man? Since I now have to add this to my show notes.
No, it's just a really, really, really great game. I don't have a lot of favorites. I don't, like, anytime, like, Craig, hey, what's your favorite this, that? I got to really think, because my personality, I like a lot of things, or I don't like things at all. Like, there's not a, so I don't rank stuff, but there is always a favorite video game of an era. In the early 2000s, it was Medal of Honor, you know, for the PS2, you know, for a couple years after that, it was like Vice City, and then later GTA 5. This is probably the best game I've ever played.
Now, I know you brought up on, like, Facebook some of the police state stuff, so why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's more of a surveillance state that Peter at Spider-Man's all gung-ho about. Like, the entire premise is he couldn't do half of what he does if the entire city not only was, you know, under video surveillance, but, like, super, like, super technologically advanced kind of blanketed city surveillance. You know, where you're listening, you know, J. Jonah Jameson's the right-wing, MAGA hat-wearing character of the game, but some of the stuff about that, I'm like, well, find the lie. He's like, they could be listening to your conversations. Like, yeah, that's how Spider-Man busted in and stopped this one thing from happening. And it's just couched in this, like, person of interest. Like, mm-hmm. that was all about the surveillance state, right?
Right.
But it was framed as, look what it could do. Look at the, yes, we can find crimes or we could find suspects and stop crimes before, during, and stuff like that. But look at, like, and it showed you very starkly, like, where we're headed. Like, the malfeasance that's going to go with, you know, that type of society. So you get, at least you get to go, oh, wow, look at that. That's so cool. They caught that criminal. Ugh, but look how they used his TV, his smart TV, to, like, spy on him and to get him. So there's this juxtaposition. In Spider-Man, it's just, surveillance state is all good, yay! You know, there's no, like, counterbalance to, it's all couched in goodness and stopping bad guys. There's no drawback. Whatever, 39% throughout the game, at least the campaign, and there's no, like, antagonist that's, besides J. Jonah Jameson, but he's just complete scumbucket that you don't take seriously. But there's no real, like, counterbalance to the theme. And I have some issues with that because, you know, you're 8 years old playing this game. And I say this about everything, this entire generation of children who are going to grow up not knowing what it's like to not have a camera in your face, like, from your parents, like, soon as they're, you know, do stuff. It's all, like, you see not your kids, you have an appropriate amount of pictures and videos of Magoo, but, you know, you see the stuff on social media. It's,
yeah,
like, everything your kid does, and you're taping them, you're filming them, like, geez, lady, or geez, dad, chill out. So it's just that kind of, what do they call it in the conspiracy realm? Oh, predictive programming.
Yeah. Pre-crime, man.
Where they put stuff out in movies and stuff. No. They want to get people used to things happening. So you have, you put it in pop culture years before it's going to be. So by the time it's, like, apparent, people are just so comfortable with it because it's been a part of their lives for so long. People look at, when they talk about UFOs or any kind of, like, other, like, weird conspiracy stuff, it's like, oh, I saw that in the movie. You know, it's like, that doesn't mean, okay. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's my Spider-Man rant. It's really good. Go out and get it if you're an adult and you have a PS4.
And if you're an adult and have a PS4.
Child,
put your chat on private for a while because people were bricking systems right,
oh, yeah,
left and right.
That's right. I was so hyped to get up and play the game. I forgot. I read the article and then forgot when I got on.
Yeah, see, I should have sent you a message just to be like, what gibberish in it, just to...
No! Hey,
Hey, Travis, 01111BGWWW. It was like, oh, did you don't? Then I would have sent you a Harry text. Don't turn on your PS4.
Oh man, you ain't shit.
See, I try. See, now you're trying to get me in trouble on the live cast. This ain't the East Coast cast. People try to listen to this on their minivans and on their Vespas.
FCC violation.
Yeah, see, trying to get me fired on a Tuesday. But what? Anyway, when we come back, Travis and I will be chatting with you guys. So continue listening to East Coast Cast on a Saturday with a little bit less shenanigans, a.k.a. the deep dive.
Hey, if you're a fan of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, which you obviously are if you're listening to this right now, check out Solomonster Sounds Off. It's a weekly show covering all the latest news in the world of wrestling, from WWE to Lucha Underground, New Japan, and everything in between, plus listener Q&A, rankings, and more. Check it out in iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or download directly from thesolomonster.com.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich and now Travis. Chatting to you about the police state, chatting to you about pro wrestling and everything in between. Give us a call, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And apparently, breaking news, I don't have Travis's soundboard, but... The newest member of the Bullet Club... in terms of folks taking shots, apparently, is Ray Bucanero, because he's looking pretty hard. And people got jokes. Ray Bucanero looks like every old indies American wrestler that's got like an extra 25 to 50 pounds on him. And that extra smlarge is not looking good. It's not looking good. But yeah, so we have... We do have, I believe this is 27-year Torch VIP, Brian Alston. Brian, is this in fact you?
Hey, Rich. Hey, Trav. How are you both doing today?
Outstanding, sir.
What's up, man? Is this a first? I mean, I know I talk to Brian often, and I'm sure you do as well, Rich, on this fine program, but have you and I talked to Brian together ever?
Live, yeah, a couple of times when I stood in on the live cat,
right. Yeah, it's really, you're
because
probably
you,
right.
You would take shots at him because he was
first, so we can.
I know you're trying to sell it, but I try to be an honest man, and he is a good man, and you would try to take shots at him as he was getting ready for karate class, and that's what started my whole. One of these days, you're going to open the door, and he's going to kick you in the back of your knee, and. The receipt will be given.
Hi-ya.
See.
Hi-ya. I like that. I hope you both have a real good weekend. It's a nice rainy afternoon here in Phoenix. It looks like rain stopped here in my house, though. So I'm having a good day. Hopefully you both are having a good weekend as well. Trav, I'm not unfortunately, I'm not an owner of a PS4. So I'm kind of living vicarious through you and everybody else about how great Spider-Man is.
Yeah, I had to wait a month. I just got it. The other day, Rich was a pal enough. He won a copy of WWE 2K19 after, and he had already pre-ordered it. So he just rerouted his copy to me, and I asked, like, "Hey, I kind of want Spider-Man. Would you mind if I traded it in or swapped it out at Best Buy?" And I did that. So I was a month late, and for the month, every time I would get on my PlayStation, I would. See everybody, hey, look who your friends are, who's on, and everybody's playing Spider-Man, and I was just like, one of these days, and that day came Thursday.
Yeah, as a kid, normally I was a late adopter to a lot of things because, wasn't a whole lot of money flowing around the Alston house when I was growing up. However, I'll share a very brief story. We saw my video games. The original Atari 2600, or just for us, it was just the Atari when I first got it. We got, we actually got Donkey Kong first, which again on the 2600 was this, the worst thing ever, but it was the greatest thing ever at the same time. And so, my dad made a sacrifice, so we had to sacrifice something to our dad to, get it. My younger brother and I did it. So, but anyway, we had people around the neighborhood was pretty excited about it, and we had, my mom wasn't happy. But we had a steady stream of people coming over wanting to play Donkey Kong. So that was probably one of our biggest, my brother and I, biggest cool neighborhood things we had was when we got Donkey Kong first before anybody else did.
Hey.
Yeah, that's always, I can imagine a good feeling. I've never really, especially with video games, I got a Nintendo in 89. They came out in 85. I got a Genesis in 96. They came out in like 91. So, Brian, I was I'm right there with you. I remember in college, I got a PlayStation in 99. Worst thing ever done. I guarantee that's the reason I don't have a college degree right now. That goddamn PlayStation and NBA Live 99. It's in the first SmackDown game. But yeah, I was always late to the game until I got grown and had grown up tendencies to spend money on things I didn't need.
Mm-hmm. Again, digressing down this rabbit hole here, would you think, Trav, at that time, you put yourself in that time frame, and you take today's technology, you think you would have been pretty good on Twitch and like maybe you would at least make some money that way?
Money? Oh, I mean, no. Because the people that make money during that, doing that stuff are like super into it. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I might get on and talk
to people
and you know bust balls and make jokes, but certainly wouldn't have been able to monetize that.
No, I mean taking your college self in that NBA Live, doing that. That's what I'm referring to.
Oh no! Again, I mean I'm so out of that lifestyle, that kind of community. That's I don't know what that's about, so I can't say whether I'd fit. I don't feel like I'd fit in. Like today, as a 38-year-old, I don't know how I feel as an 18-year-old. Again, if everything was the same technology and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to err on the side of probably not, because I don't think my personality is a ton different than it was 20 years ago. As far as like what I like and what I'm into.
So so Craig isn't yelling at us. We can get into some wrestling topics. But I'm gonna take a business turn to this part too. One thing I don't mention too much, Trav and Rich, is that I actually have two business degrees. My undergraduate degree was in business, and my master's degree was in business as well. However, I'm not doing business right now. I'm doing training, which I love doing that. One of the first things they teach you in business school is the number one thing for a business is to maximize stakeholder wealth. So the number one reason why business exists is to maximize stakeholder wealth. Now, of course, public, yes, private, yes, as well. If you say stakeholder wealth would be that business, that individual business owner. I mean,
That's one person's goal. Just obviously, the things are different when you got to answer to shareholders opposed to a family of the CEO and the CFO, and that's it.
Right. Right. But of course, there's one thing that editor publisher Wade Keller likes to mention or talk about is that business. They're not going to throw stuff into a river because it's going to say it's cheaper than respectively recycling things. That's
right.
Is it maximum stakeholder wealth? I mean, yeah, they're saving money by dumping it into the river, not paying these rules. However, when they get caught, they're losing a lot of money because, of course, the FDA or the government's going to come down on them.
But they don't, though, Brian. That's why they do it, because they know even on the back end it's going to be a slap on the wrist. Different industry, but HSBC, the top European bank, four years ago, got caught laundering money for Iran, Al Qaeda, and Mexican drug cartels. If you know anything about Iranian sanctions, you can't do business with Iran. And if you know, and obviously Mexican cartels and Al Qaeda, they got a $1.9 billion fine, which was the biggest, and I think still the biggest financial fine ever. Whoa, $2 billion. HSBC got fined the most. That was all the headline. The biggest fine in financial history. They made $29 billion that quarter, Brian. Is that $1.9 billion going to, you think, keep them, dissuade them from doing that again in the future?
Right.
No.
Yep.
You think when that company gets caught and slapped with regulations and whatever, no, they'll just, you know, buy some senator or some city councilman, and that's how. So they only do it because they know, well, ultimately it'll be fine, and people might, you know, we'll throw a low-level exec under the bus if we have to and pay a little fine, and, you know, it'll be business as usual.
Right.
Not to sour the mood, but...
Well, we'll leave that topic again. I'll go back to wrestling. My point on that topic was, I don't condone a lot of the majority of things, of course, that WWE does is bad. But I just want to say about the number one reason why businesses exist. Like you said, Trav, a public.
Yeah.
So, the part I want to add, the wrestling question I want to ask. Both of you about it's. I haven't necessarily seen it fully reported yet, and you can both talk about it. Is that Jason Jordan? To my understanding, that he had another physical, and he might be his wrestling career might be done. Again, I haven't heard it necessarily. I haven't heard it saying this is exactly the truth or being reported. I've heard like rumors of it being reported. If that is true, first of all, sorry for him and his family. But ultimately, what do you think about how his career went? As short as it was, both WWE and NXT, and then also, what would you be missing about him, especially when he came back? And Rich, I'll hang on and listen. I hope you both have a real good weekend. Thanks a lot, always, for having me on.
Oh, always, Brian, always. And Travis, before you answer that one, I'm going to take a quick break just so I get the last one in before we close the show up, and we can end with Brian's questions. So when we come back, we're going to answer all of Brian's questions. He's going to be holding on listening, and if he has anything to pop back in, we'll try to bring him back on here on The Deep Dive. So stay tuned.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Rich and Travis. We're talking to you, not about Spider-Man anymore, not about the nanny state, but about pro wrestling. And Brian Alston, 27-year Torch VIP, had a question regarding pro wrestling. So Travis, what were your thoughts?
Could you give me a quick refresher of the question?
How about I bring Brian on since Travis's memory is shot? Brian, can you?
Oh my, yeah. Because if you
can, you
refresh,
Travis.
If you remember,
Travis,
you would just tell me and not have to bring.
No,
Brian,
I want any chance I get to embarrass you in front of Brian, I will do it, sir.
Thank you very much. It was about Jason Jordan, Trav.
Yeah, that's right.
See? Look, it took 2 seconds.
His career, I mean, he had a really promising career. I mean, for a career that, of my knowledge, of my knowing of him, lasted about two and a half years. I should say a year in NXT and a year on the main roster. I mean, if you're a 26-year-old up-and-coming pro wrestler, and they tell you this is going to be your first year, but this is going to be your first 2 years with the biggest company in North America. I mean, I think any wrestler is giddy. Like, oh man, I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to be making money. I'm going to have a T-shirt, and then champions of varying degrees. So his career, the two, three years he had was very solid, very promising, and I don't, I'm putting out of my mind the reaction he got in his last, 4 or 6 months, because that's just reaction, that's just fickle wrestling fans. But yeah, I mean, his trajectory I thought was very solid. I don't think he was going to ever be a WrestleMania main eventer. He didn't have that blue chip kind of thing you sometimes feel when you see like a Rock or a Brock Lesnar or something like that, even like a Randy Orton back in the day. But you knew, like, oh, this guy's going to be around for a while, as long as he wants, as long as he can and wants to do it, his, he'll be able to essentially not write his own ticket, but you know, always have a career and be able to make money in the business. And it just sucks that his body fell apart on him the way it did at 26. I don't know if that's better. You know, do you want to have a 5-7 year career and really get things going and then, you know, kind of things fall apart? Or is it best to have things go wrong this early? So if there is any kind of shot health-wise, maybe some kind of breakthrough in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, hey, you might still be able to have a career at 30, 33. But yeah, he had a really good upshot, a good upside, and it sucks. That is, I think it's his, is it his neck, right?
Yeah, it's his neck. So for me, with technology, even then, I'm still going to be.
And unfortunately, you just can't mess with that. I don't know if he's married, but I'm sure he's got a family, like his moms and sisters and stuff. And I'm sure they're telling them he's an athlete. He's probably his, you know, he's been an elite athlete, you know, probably the better part of the last 15 years. So I'm sure they're telling them, like, this is your neck. This is your, you have, you know, hopefully 50, 60 more years to live. Do you want to, like, WWE's probably not going to mess with him. And do you want to go out on and still be a pro wrestler in the, without the, you know, the number one company behind you?
Well, remember, he's in the Corey Graves territory / Daniel Bryan of, he still has his contract. So what they're trying to do is transition him to a producer or something in the back. So that way, they take it out of his hands.
Listen to Jason Jordan.
But, yeah. I mean, they're going to listen to him if he works for
the company.
Seriously,
like, yeah, he's been a wrestler for 5 years. Granted, he's a real amateur wrestler and stuff, but, like, are you going to listen to Jason Jordan about how to get over or the business?
Though I would think they would probably support
him. I'm not sure if I could or would. Just because it's like, who the hell are you?
I think they'd probably start him on NXT.
How's your territory doing now?
They'd probably put him on NXT, but to be honest, with the generation of wrestlers that are there now, no one's going to directly, like, you know, like, pie face him or nothing like that.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I don't think anybody would be like a scumbag to him, but I wouldn't put it past people to be like, this guy, he gets a cushy job after 2 years in the business. Like, Corey Graves, you know, was an indie wrestler and did all that and had a career before WWE. Jason Jordan was an amateur. I just don't see it. I just don't see the personality type. I don't see, you either have the personality type or you have the raw experience and or, you know, respect level that you command. And he doesn't have either. So I don't know how that could work outside of just a basic, like if they were like, hey, you're the trainer. You're a trainer in NXT, but not like Norman Smiley is. You're specifically training, like wide receivers coach, line coach, like you are the grapple coach. Like, people want to know transitions or actual mat holds and stuff in NXT. Sure, I'd go to Jason Jordan before I went to Norman Smiley, maybe. But I'm sure Norman Smiley, even though he's not, was, I don't even know for sure, but assuming Norman Smiley never was an amateur wrestler, I'm sure he knows a fair amount of mat holds and transitions just being a 30-year veteran. So again, it's unfortunate for him. He'd probably be better off just, you know, if he wants to stay in wrestling, trying to be a wrestling coach, like a amateur wrestling coach, if he has it in him to be a teacher.
To help you out, Norman Smiley, when he immigrated from the United Kingdom to Miami with his family, he did wrestle in high school.
Okay, not a surprise.
And I'm going to just start reading off some of the producers, and I want you to stop me with someone that you would be like, wait, why are you telling me what to do? Kind of to the point you're making.
Okay.
Scrap Daddy, sure. Adam Pearce.
I'm taking all the advice from him, even though I yelled at him back in 06 at an ROH show for being super reckless.
Arn Anderson.
Come on.
I know. Bill, I'm just going down the list. Billy
Kidd. Get out of my face, Arn. What money have you
got
to know? Yeah, right.
What you know, old man? Billy Kidman. Dean Malenko.
Who else you got?
Devon Dudley.
Yeah, are you just
– I'm going down the list. They got them listed here. Irwin R. Schester.
Okay, okay.
Jamie Noble. Jeremy Borash. John Gaburik. John Lauren Titus. Mark Henry.
He's back?
Yeah. He's just an agent now, I guess. Mark Henry. Matt Hardy. P.S. Hayes. Pat Patterson. Road Dogg as lead writer. Amato's head trainer. Sarah Stock trains. Scott Armstrong and Tyson Kidd. Closest to that would be Tyson Kidd.
None of those names.
And Tyson Kidd trained at the dungeon. Yeah.
Sure. None of those names, or Jason Jordan, fits nowhere with any of those people.
Yeah.
I'm actually glad you read that list, because I was expecting, you know, because you brought it up, I was like, damn, is there going to be like, you know, some guy that just wrestled 3 years, like, you know, that got a shot and is doing real good. So, yeah, I mean, I think that proves, and I don't even think just in a wrestling, oh, you got to pay your dues kind of bullshit, macho kind of, you know, wrestling thing. I think it's just the psychology of a guy that's been around. Like, I've been here longer than you. Again, wrestlers give suggestions on finishes all the time and spots. I, as a nobody on the indie scene, back when I was managing Ron, when, like, hours before the show, guys are in the ring going through, you know, spots, and they were like these two guys. I think one guy was Mark Smart, and he was wrestling a guy, and they were trying to figure out a catapult spot, and the arena that they were in had those partitions that you kind of push, and they were all stacked, and one was kind of right near the ring, like right near the ring ropes, and I was like, hey, you could slingshot him into that partition, boom. Oh, but I asked, I said, hey, could I make a suggestion? You know, because I'm a nobody that took three bumps in my life, and I don't want to be coming on to these guys like, hey, maybe you should do it this way, this would work. Like, hey, if you don't mind, I could. I forget why I got why I.
You're
got
just talking
that
about
point,
level
but,
of like expertise. Well, for him, if it helps, I know you mentioned the 3 year period, 3 years on television. He's been working with them since 2011. They wanted to sign him at college because he was one of Briscoe's recruits.
Okay.
So he's been in the lab for 7 years. Would that change your opinion, or is it still? I don't know about this. Okay.
No. I'm just thinking of trying to get. He's gone now, and this might not be the best example because of the personality and their goal. But is Big Cass or somebody on that level supposed to like take Jason Jordan seriously?
I mean, he would have to, because what are you going to do if you talk crap to him?
I don't mean outright like disrespecting somebody or ignoring their advice. I guess ignoring their advice, but I don't mean this outright going, shut up, Jason, like, what do you know, and walking away from the, you know, pre-match kind of thing. I don't think there's any world where WWE would put him in that position. It goes against everything that they even are about. They don't put people in those spots, you know, with that level of experience. It just doesn't happen. I mean, you just look at the list you just read.
Yeah. Well, they might set him up with the Dwight Schrute, as I get dyslexic for a second. The Dwight Schrute special assistant to the producer. I'm an assistant producer. He's like, guys, actually, I'm an assistant producer. Assistant to the producer.
He's like, they're like, hey, what are you? Hey, Jason, good to see you back. What are you doing now? Oh, I'm an assistant agent. And then, like, Ricky Steamboat comes in and goes,
assistant.
He's an assistant to the agents. All of us. We basically tell him when we need, you know, like, chill out, Jason. Oh, you didn't even say Steamboat. Is he not an agent anymore?
I don't believe so.
You and I missed it?
He wasn't on the list, and I think with his health issues, he's been, like, kind of worried about that more. Yeah.
Goddamn Ryback.
See? Blame Ryback for everything. But before we get out of here, because we're at that time of the night, why don't you let the fine folks, if they don't know, even though they should, how they can find you on the internet and you know, what your username is on the PlayStation Network, just in case they might want to send you a hello.
Send me a brick. East Coast Cast is on every Wednesday, 6:30 Eastern, live every Wednesday, and on your favorite podcast app. After that, wherever podcasts live, the East Coast Cast lives. But you can find all our information on eastcoastcast.com. Find us on Twitter at East Coast Cast. Find me on Twitter at TravLord. Yeah, I mean, I'll do a truncated version. It's not a minivan friendly broadcast. So drop the kiddies off first, and then hit play. So yeah, join us every Wednesday for wrestling fun and shenanigans.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you very much for the tag in, and enjoy the rest of your Spider-Man Phil weekend.
Thanks, man.
All right, guys, so that's this week. Next week, we're going to have some more fun with you. So before we get out of here, I'm going to leave some deets from the boss man. And as always, dive into something new. Go plus ultra, challenge yourself, do something you don't think you can, because chances are you will. For Travis, I'm Rich. Enjoy your weekend, and thank you for listening.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. Live!